Welcome to the Apartment Rockstar Podcast. On this episode, Robert Martinez is a guest on the Jake and Gino Podcast. Continue your real estate education journey and learn about how real estate syndicators' business increased during COVID-19 and why multifamily real estate is evolving as a result.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Senziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, we've got a great guest on today. You know why? Because everyone says, is it the right time to get into real estate? Is it the right time to buy multifamily? And this guest started in 2007 when it wasn't the right time, right? The right time is when you decide it's the right time. So for me, it's going to be a really entertaining, really educational podcast. So I want everyone to get a little piece of paper, some pen.
You've been watching some WWF? You about to open up a can of whoop ass here? I think he's doing it. The G Daddy's ready to go today. So,
it's not every day you get a rock star on the podcast. Oh, so we're ready to go, bro. You know.
All right. Here we go. So today's guest is Robert Martinez. Robert is the founder and CEO of Rockstar Capital, an investment and management firm with nearly 4,000 units under management. He is the only. We're not even thinking. We're going to say the only two-time NAA National Apartment Owner of the Year and Houston Business Journal's Most Admired CEO in 2019. So without further ado, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm excited. You know, I'm not a Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I am Robert Martinez, the apartment rock star. So I'm going to bring it today.
Oh, coming from the top rope with the flying elbow, brother.
You're talking the Rock over there. So this is awesome. This is really good, Robert. Just give us a little bit of background about your story, how you got into real estate and, you know, how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, you know, so I was raised in Deep South Texas. You know, my father worked for a fast food chain. My mother worked for Levi's and later Hager's when both plants moved to South Texas. So real estate was not discussed at the dinner table. Nobody in my family, extended family, owned real estate. We were very middle class, you know. And so, but what I did learn was I learned a lot about customer service. I learned a lot about people. I learned a lot about how to treat people. You know, my dad was a great builder of teams, you know, working in the fast food industry for 40 years. And he won a lot of awards and his stores always did the highest. And I think some of that just rubbed off on me. So, you know, their dream was for me to go to college. So I went to school and got good grades. I graduated from Texas A&M University. I have an engineering degree. And I started my career in the sales side. You know, I was selling engineered products. And I did that for the better part of 10 years. And then, you know, corporate America hit me like it does everybody else. You know, it reminds you who's boss. It reminds you that no matter what your goals are to be here, they want you to be here. And they will monkey with your commission plans. They will monkey with your forecast. They will change how they pay you. And they will keep you where they want you. And I basically had an epiphany when that happened for the second time that I don't have control of my financial future. I don't have control of the kind of vacation I'm going to have. I don't have control of where my kids are going to go to school or the lifestyle or, you know, the car I'm going to drive. My employer has that. And I wanted that back. So I started to look for a way to first supplement my income, supplement the income that they were receiving from me. And I looked at a variety of different entrepreneur ideas, you know, a car wash, a laundromat, you know, a water vending business. And, you know, after listening to a real estate show on the radio of a local guy in Houston, I wanted to go learn. You know, this sounds interesting. I want to try this out. And I decided to go to that weekend seminar. And I learned a lot about single family and thinking, man, I'm going to buy single family rent houses. This is what I'm going to do. This is going to be my way of supplementing my income. And then I went to the Sunday one, and that was all multifamily. And I'm like, wow, I have found a way to replace all my income, not just supplement my income, if I do this right. So I took the plunge. You know, I paid the fee to join the mentorship program. I walked away from a six-figure job, you know, and I walked into $36,000 a year because that's what I was able to make in that first deal. And I sat in that chair. And I sat in that chair every single day learning the business. I learned how to lease. I learned how to be the assistant manager. I learned how to be the property manager. I learned to understand how the business worked. And more importantly, I came off of my skill set and I learned how to teach people what I was learning. I learned how to teach my staff how to sell, how to ask the right questions, how to sell the unique value proposition, how to listen. And I got really good at it. And for the next few years, I built that business up with my partner and we had 2,000 units and we survived the recession. We plowed through the recession. We did 100% refinance events when everybody said you couldn't do it. And we put people out of business. You know, so this COVID-19 thing isn't anything new to me. It's a little bit different because government's much more involved. And as you guys know, as you guys are multifamily operators, you know, collections have probably been a lot better than what you thought they were going to be. And that's because the government.
Well, May was going to be the problem. April was going to be the problem. Then May was going to be the problem. So is it going to be June? Or, you know, we're just going to keep kicking it.
I was a good operator. Now I just think everybody's doing the same thing. Right?
You picked the right vehicle, man. You picked the right vehicle. That's the key, right?
Well, the right vehicle is because it's food, clothing, and apartments. Those are the three basic human needs. And Robert, I got to go back to your story though. Let's go back, because what did your parents say?
It's funny you said that, right? Because like you guys probably in your life, they ridiculed it. They were like, what are you doing? Real estate? Are you crazy? That's so dangerous. You're going to lose all your money. You've got this great job. You got a family, you have kids. Why are you going to walk away from it? And I was like, well, because what gets in the way of a great life is a good life. Right. And that's what I had. I had a good life. And to get to the next stage of life, get to the next stage of your evolution, you got to take some chances and some fears. And they were giving me the best advice they could based on the life that they had.
Yep.
You know, my dad worked, you know, his finger to the bone and really was a casualty of the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. He didn't invest with me until much later. And, you know, he was never going to retire. I mean, just like you guys are very wealthy. You don't have to work. You choose to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, real estate's minted you as a millionaire. More millionaires have been minted by real estate. You go to the world's richest people, you're going to have your tech giant, you're going to have your media giant, and you're going to have your real estate mogul. And these are right now. It's true, you know? So you've got to follow your own path, because if you want somebody else's life, listen to them. If you want if you want a different life, listen to yourself.
So Robert, the first couple of minutes, felt like I was speaking to Jake's brother. Now the last couple of minutes, I'm speaking to my brother, because my mom was the same way as your parents. I like to ask that because they're just going from a place of fear. My mom would always say, you've got a nice small business. Look at all your friends. They hate their jobs. And I'm like, well, that's not the peer group I want to be looking at. I want to be looking at the peer group that's enjoying their jobs. I'll look at that other peer group. So it was important. So when you jumped in there and you started the work, how would you tell people right now that are, like I said, 2007 is a tough time to get into it. The capital markets, the credit markets are shrinking up. There's no money out there. The deals are out there, but you can't find financing. So right now, you know, how would you advise people to get into real estate if that's what their passion is right now? Especially,
well, first of all, there's no win and lose. There's win and learn, mm-hmm. you know? And so you got to be ready to make a mistake. You got to be ready to take that step, because if you don't take that step, you're never going to change your situation. You're going to live in that same box. All the winners in today's world, no matter who you are, took a step out. All the smart guys dropped out of college. They did the things that everybody expected them to do. They did the opposite, right? Whoa, it was a thunder. Sorry about that. It's scary here. And they did all the things that they shouldn't have done, right? And so I don't think real estate is risky. Real estate is not risky. You just need to prepare yourself and learn. The best money I ever spent in my entire life was joining that real estate club, because in that club, I escaped fear. I escaped judgment. And I got into a circle of other people who wanted the same thing I do. I like to joke and say, because my favorite book ever was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I have an ADD problem. I can't sit still. But I read that whole book cover to cover a few times. And joining most real estate clubs is like a Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. Because everybody, the guy on stage that you're going to see, he's hit the goals that you want to hit. The people that are sitting next to you in the front row, they want those same goals. And everybody is cheering everybody else on. And you're asking questions and you're sharing stories and you're sharing what you're sharing is your experiences, so that other people don't make the same mistakes you do. I love real estate. It is fun. I get up out of bed every day looking how we can be better.
I love that. So you touched upon sales, right? And yeah. I totally 100% wholeheartedly agree with you. My partner over there is the Radio Shack sales god over there. That's how he started out. And for him, that was one of his, I guess, defining moments in his career, where he figured out, hey, I work harder, I can make more money. Yeah. Why do you think sales is so important in real estate, and just specifically even for an entrepreneur?
I think sales is the backbone of life, because it's communication. Mm-hmm. If you cannot communicate, how can you get what you want? Mm-hmm. You can't explain what you want. How is someone going to help you? Mm-hmm. Right? It's about helping other people. I think communication is the key to life, you know? And friends, people are going to be like, well, I'm more of a type B. You know, I don't really have that kind of personality. That's okay. Find you a partner. Find you your opposite. Find you, double down on what you're good at and hire your weakness, or recruit your partner and get in there and get in the game. Don't let it be a stumbling block for you. Don't let it be something that keeps you, because you don't know what's on the other side of that door. You just got to want it. Nothing in life is easy. Nobody showed us how to do real estate. Nobody said buy this deal. Nobody said walk through that door. You're going to have to do it. And if you want someone to hold your hand while you're doing it, you can do that. You can pay for that, or you can have a mentor, or you can have a partner. But walk through the door. And if sales is not your thing, again, double down on what you're good at, or your finance. If you're the T's and C's guy, I've got a partner. He's really great at T's and C's. I can't sit still to read them, but he's very good at reading them. I'm the sales guy. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy that's gonna bring in the revenue, that's going to keep the lights on.
So, Robert, I think a lot of people also look at sales the wrong way. I looked at it the wrong way for a long time. They always think of the sleazy guy, right? But what we've employed with Jake and Gino is we've employed more of a finding impact together, a fit strategy where, you know, not everything's a sale, right? I'm just trying to provide value for the person across. If you're raising money for an investor and that investor doesn't have a long-term mindset, but you have a long-term product, it's not going to work out. It's okay. That's not the sale. I think people have to shift their mind and the limiting beliefs on sales and look at it from a way of delivering value. And I think that's the old model of ABC. Always be closing, right?
Always be closing.
That's not the way it goes nowadays. I mean, if you want to be a really good salesperson, you can change your sales strategy to thinking about the other side. So I think that's an important component I think people need to really.
I want to go back and say that, right? Because, you know, you asked what my parents think. Man, when I told them I was going to have a sales career in engineering, oh my God, you think I told them I was going to go sell Britannica encyclopedias or I was going to sell Hoover vacuum cleaners or something? They were like, no, not sales. We sent you to school. You got an engineering degree and you're going to be a sales guy. What's wrong with you? Man, sales is where it's at. Everybody that I ever met, even in my corporate life, the money was made by the sales guys. It really was. Mm-hmm. The guys that can have a personality, the guys that can put themselves out there. And let me tell you what the secret to this stuff is too, is that even if you're not very good at sales, get good at something. And you get passionate about it and you can talk about it. And when you talk about it, what are you doing? You're communicating. You get really good at sales when you understand what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So in your properties, we were just joking about April, May collections.
Yeah.
What have you done in your systems and your operations that you think, I mean, other than the government giving you money, because there are operators out there who are faltering, what has really, you know, led to your growth and success in your company and systems that you have right now?
You know, and I think that if they're faltering, they should be faltering. I think they should, because this is not meant for everybody. It is not everybody gets a participation ribbon. It's not. It should be survival of the fittest. That is the biggest difference between this economic slowdown and the one in 07, is that people died and they went out of business as they should. What's going on right now are multiple things. C-19 has basically tested everybody's liquidity. It's tested their solvency. And it's also tested what you did when times were good. You guys know what I'm talking about. You've been doing this for a long time. The harbor's been full for a long time. And every you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry decided, I'm going to be a syndicator. I'm going to put deals together. I've been doing this for 13 years, man. That was even before it was sexy, you know. And what happens is when times are good, you don't evolve. You don't innovate. You don't get better. I don't want that to happen to me. I'm very big on hanging out with some social media influencers. I wanted to learn some business minds. I've hung out with Gary Vaynerchuk and I've hung out with Grant Cardone. I paid my money to sit there in front of their office and understand, hey, talk to me. Because these are great business guys. I want to be like you guys. Tell me what I can, share some wisdom. And no matter what they say, it's not going to hit you right away. You're going to have to let it percolate. I met Gary back in the middle, May of 2017. And he said to the whole group there, and I didn't understand at the time, he said, find a way to put yourself out of business. And I'm like, wait, what? Find a way to put yourself out of business and then come up with a defense against it. And I'm like, that's genius. Okay, but what does it mean, right? So it took me about a year, but what it meant was, and so what C-19 is doing, it is basically the new world killing the old world, but faster. It was already occurring. The whole Netflix blockbuster thing, everybody knows that story, Amazon. But what's happened? Netflix just picked up 16 million new subscribers overnight. That was not in their 2020 plan. And those are the late adopters. They're now there. Amazon today just said that they're going to buy the largest movie theater chain. They tried to buy Landmark 2 years ago. Now they're going to buy AMC theaters, 600 and something stores, probably at a fraction of what the value was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's occurring is you got to find a way to evolve. And I realized, man, someone's going to put me out of business. And it has to do with the phone. It has to do with speed and it has to do with the internet. Uber killed the taxi business, right? All these businesses that I'm seeing killed it. Macy's, all these guys are going out of business today. It fast forwarded their death because they didn't catch on when it was time. So what's going on with us? What happens if people stop going to the offices? what happens if people stop coming there? Well, they don't. They don't show up on a Saturday with an apartment guidebook anymore and walk 10 properties. They find you online.
I thought you meant office space. I was like, well, the office space is closed, man.
Well, that's true, right?
You're talking about the leasing offices.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yes. I'm sorry, the leasing offices, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. They find you online. So we hired a videographer. Then we decided, you know what? We need to have good reviews, right? When you go to Best Buy, you don't know what TV you're going to buy. What do? You ask the guy there, hey, what TV do I buy? Well, everybody's buying this one. And then you probably go to Google and you check it just to confirm what he's saying is correct, right? So we focus on resident reviews. We have some of the best resident reviews in the entire nation. In fact, through apartmentratings.com, we got, I think, 8 properties ranked in the top 20 in the country for resident satisfaction, because I get that. People buy when other people buy, right? But they got to tour the apartment. We put a lot of effort, a lot of time in VR, and we've made a lot of mistakes the last 3 years. We figured it out. And right now, in that period of time from March to April, 70% of our leases were coming in were through our VR capability. In the month of March, month of April, when everything started to settle down, people started to come into the offices again a little bit, we did like almost 300 leases that week, that month, and 35% were VR only. That means that they came online, they leased online, they did the employment verification online, the rental verification online, paid their money online, did the VR tour online, and all they have to do now is show up and pick up the key. And obviously, if you have smart home technology, which we do in South Texas, and we're doing a trial balloon there, we don't even have to do that. We can just give them the code, right? And they can log in through their phone. So we figured out ahead of time. And right now, look, everybody's doing well in renewals, just like everybody's collecting well. But we're expanding market share. We're getting leases. That's 35% of leases, over 75 units that we would not have got today if we didn't have VR technology. And that's what C19 is testing. It's testing what you did when times were good.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the customer experience and customer journey. Can you give me just a couple of those, maybe another tip or two about the customer journey? Because that really solidifies it. Because most multifamily operators, once you give the keys, you don't touch those tenants back anymore, right? It's give the keys and like 2 months before they renew, you're hitting them up. Do you do anything different with that customer journey, that customer experience to solicit those testimonials?
Well, absolutely, right? Because think about it, right? I want to control the narrative. Just like with C19, we control the narrative. We didn't let our residents get scared because of what they saw on CNN or Fox News or whatever. We let them know what their options were. We took control of the narrative and told them, you will get unemployment benefits and they will be enhanced. You will get a check. We will work with you on your late charges. We will do this. We control the narrative. Well, it's the same thing with the renewals, right? You've got to control the narrative. You've got to go out there and get the reviews. Every time somebody moves in, aren't they happy? Every time somebody renews, aren't they happy? So why aren't you soliciting a review? Why are you letting your narrative be controlled by the guy who's getting evicted for not paying rent, or the guy that's getting evicted for not following community procedures, or that guy that wants to park in the fire lane or the handicap, and you're tired of it and you stickered him and now he wants to negative review you, or you went up a little bit on his rent, right? And he doesn't like it, right? Because he's got something that's been broken for 6 months that he never told you about. Why are you letting them tell the story? Drown out the noise and get the good stories up there, right? And control it, because the secret to multifamily real estate, and you guys know this, it's not when somebody moves in, it's when they renew that you make your money. Your valuation determines how many people renew. And that's the kind of operator you are. If your turnover is low, you're gonna see it in your income numbers, right? Because it costs money to move somebody in. It costs money marketing, vacancy loss, a variety of other costs, make ready costs. It costs you nothing when they renew. What does it cost you? A free shampoo? You know, maybe you upgrade something here and there, but they pay for it by paying a $50 rent increase. And as you guys know, a $10 rent increase on a 100 unit property for 12 months is $200,000 evaluation at a 6 cap.
Mm-hmm. If you understand, and over the last few years, that's low. So
exactly. Yeah. So you should be making, I'm saying 10 bucks is cheap, but keep it simple for everybody. $10 on 100 units is $200,000 evaluation. So just use your multiple, multiply that times 3 times 5, whatever the number you want, and you'll see how you can create valuation, big money in multifamily investing.
So Roberto, what kind of properties you invested in? Do you have A's, B's, C's? We haven't talked about the asset classes that you're in. I'm sorry.
So most of our asset classes are B class. So late 70s to mid 80s. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of sites down in South Texas where we have some A sites, 2015 build, 2017 build. We got them for a really good price. Somebody was in trouble. We were there. We rescued them and we did really good. We took on their risk, right? But that is the bread and butter for us, is though, because I think that's where the people are going to stick. I want to renew. I don't want to buy a high rise. I live in a high rise right now, 33rd floor. Guess what I'm doing today? I'm moving. The movers are at my apartment right now, boxing.
Where are you going, man?
well, I'm going to go get a really nice house, but I'm going to rent it. I'm not going to pay for it. Uh-huh. I'm going to let that somebody else. That's somebody else put the earnest money. I'm sorry, the down payment money on that. I'm going to rent. I'm a big believer in renting now. I don't need to do that. But the Class B market, a Class C, right, or C plus, they don't really have that ability. They're going to stick around. So take care of them. I like to invest in areas where the schools are good, which here in Houston is the suburbs. All the suburbs, most of the suburbs are great schools. Well, that's where the families are going to be. And the families are there because of an elementary or a junior high or high school. Take care of them. They're going to stay and you're going to make your money.
The reason why I asked that is because a lot of your customer service and customer journey, you don't have to have A-plus properties. You can work in the B and C space and deliver that type of customer service. Like my partner Jake likes to say, be the Chick-fil-A of the apartment, of these customer service. And you don't need those high A's. You want the B and C because, you know, as I'm going to put words in Jake's mouth again. You're doing the Blue Ocean strategy right now because there's very few operators out there who are implementing what you're implementing. They are the lost people, the B and C space, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing too is that, you know, why do people move out? They move out because you're not covering the basic needs. Mm-hmm. You talked about air, well, food and shelter. Well, now you actually have the shelter. You want it to work, right? Mm-hmm. So the number one thing that we won't focus on are basic needs. Day one on our renovation plans, we replace 100% of the air conditions. You ask, well, why do you do that? Well, the number one reason why people move is maintenance. And then one maintenance headache is air conditions. I take that off the board day one. You will have a brand new air conditioning because just like in Knoxville, it's hot. It can be 103 outside. It cannot be 80 some degrees in your apartment if you expect to get that renewal. Mm-hmm. So we dictate that up front. We would fix all the ACs. We would replace, all the ACs day one. We also implement like a utility bill back as well. So we're going to get the benefit of the efficiency and what have you. So there's an ROI for us there. We're going to change out the water heaters. We're going to change out the boarders. We're going to do the water conservation. We're going to do all the things, right, that people have to have. They got to have consistent hot water. They got to have cold air coming out of their vents. The next thing is internet. Man, I don't know about you guys. When you have 80s built properties, the internet kind of sucks, right? And it's just because the wiring's so bad. If you got a late model house or even in my high rise on the 33rd floor, my cell signal was terrible. If I don't have good internet, I can't talk on the phone. Well, mm-hmm. It's the same thing at the apartments. Their internet's terrible. It is. So we're starting to figure out a way how we can implement better internet there. We're probably going to have to spend some money to get, I don't know what it is, better boxes, better technology. If we can build it back,
you know, upgrade the fiber too. Yeah.
What's that?
The fiber upgrades as well.
The
right?
fiber upgrades, right. Yeah. And so it's very, very important because, you know, you're going to have dissatisfied customers and you may be taking care of them and they may be cold air and they may have hot water coming out every morning. But man, if that internet signal sucks and their kid keeps complaining because their laptop, their iPad doesn't work right, they're going to get tired and they're going to move.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. So right now we're in the middle of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. What your buying criteria? Have you changed your buying criteria? I mean, are you still looking in your backyard? What are you looking to buy right now?
So right now, everything is on hold for us. I had two deals that I was ready to go in contract. One, I already had done the due diligence. We already had done the walkthrough. And the other one, I was about to send the earnest money. And I kept delaying because, as you guys remember, you were just listening to the TV waiting for the latest news. You can't buy when there's uncertainty. You can't. Because you don't know what it's going to look like on the other side. And I'm glad I didn't because financing changed. So on one of the deals, I was already past the hard money stage on the earnest money. And I literally walked. I walked for $50,000. And I said, I'm not going to get into this deal. My name, the $100 million that I've raised the last 9 years, is worth more to me than $50,000. So I'm going to focus on my assets until everything shakes out. I had a refinance blow up because they added the 12-month, you know, taxes, insurance, P&I, whatever garbage, which destroys your returns on a big refinance event. It would have been number 13 for us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to focus on my business right now. So we are getting very sharp in our business. And I think C19 could be the best thing that ever happened to us because it took that focus I had on acquisitions off and put 100% now on operations every day. And we're making changes with personnel. We're making changes with vendors. We did a big vendor survey last week. We're evaluating all of our vendors, who's delivering, who's not delivering, who's really got the best pricing, who doesn't, who's got the right quality, who doesn't. And we're making changes. So it's a great opportunity right now to sit down and fine tune your business.
I love this. So we had that problem. We were at 650 units to go to 1,000 units as far as the growing. Can you give our listeners any tips on when you're scaling a business, as far as Jake likes to say, people, systems, and culture? Do you have any tips on how to get to that next level where all of a sudden, like what you're doing right now, you're chunking down on operations, you're focusing on that. So,
well, you got to innovate. number one, because there's 1,000 of us out there. So how are you going to stand out? If I didn't innovate when times were good, I wouldn't have the VR strength that we have today. It is a core of our business. And as I told you, the new world is eating up the old world, and all that got advanced by C19. The VR got advanced. We had that. We were at maybe 10% penetration. Now we're at 35 to 40%, right? Because people don't want to come to the office, and it's going to change buying patterns. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. You were talking about office. We're going to see fewer people occupying, you know, the commercial office space as well, right? So I think you need to continue to innovate. Second thing is, I think you got to build a brand. Because as I said, there's a lot of us out there, right? And if the key is communication, then the next key is networking. How are people going to know that you want to get to 1,000 units? If they don't know you, how can they sell to you? Mm-hmm. Right? So you got to build a brand. Everybody has a brand. Everybody. Some are just more known than others. Mm-hmm. So we focus really strong on my Instagram brand. We focus strong on articles on LinkedIn. We focus strong on every social media platform on YouTube, just like you guys. And we have our content out there. So the investors, so that the equity that's out there can see who you are. You're not just a face on a prospectus or a name on a prospectus. They see your passion. They see what you're talking about. They see that you're confident in what you do.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Before we get to the short answer questions, my last one is, what are you most proud of in the business right now?
Two things. I've spent a lot of time doing webinars. And then during these webinars, I've had a chance to go back to my original investors, the ones that are in like 15 of the 21 deals, the ones that are in 10 of the 21 deals, and watching, you know, how investing with us, how multifamily investing has helped them. You know, we did a podcast the other day where one of my investors was a casualty of the Great Recession, literally had $130,000 in his IRA, gave me $100 on a deal we bought in 2010. We paid $24,500 a unit for that deal. That deal would trade today for over $100,000. It has refinanced twice, could probably refinance again right now and pull a bunch of money back. He used the refinance proceeds from that deal and the leftover from his initial investment to buy the second deal. And each of those deals have refinanced. In fact, the first three deals that he bought with me, 2010, 2011, 2012, each refinanced twice. The fourth deal refinanced once, and it paid for himself. He now owns 12 deals with me, $1.7 million valuation based on an initial $100,000 investment. Mm-hmm. And I am proud of the millionaires that I've minted. You know, as real estate's minted millionaires, I've been able to mint multifamily millionaires that have changed their family tree. I had another guy that put $200,000 in on his initial deal. He now makes $200,000 a year in cash flow. He's retired early, his kids have gone to school, and he's made like $3.5 million on an initial investment of maybe $600,000 initially. You know, that's what I'm proud of, number one. The second is what I've been able to help my team with. Because I'm a big believer, you got to help, you have to dance with the people that bring you. You know, I'm not going to get to the top of the mountain, plant that flag, and have nobody to tell stories with. It's not going to be any fun. I want to help my people grow. I want to see the people that are in my business grow with me, and the ones that were there in the beginning grow furthest. You know, we've made millionaires in our business. They invested in some of those early deals. They put their pennies together, and they saw it quadruple. They saw it jump to 700% on some of the early sales that we had. That's what I'm proud of. How much impact I've been able to give, because that's your true legacy. You know, Gary Vee likes to say, it's the people that show up at your funeral that tell you what kind of life you lead. Mm-hmm. You know, and I hope, just like him, to have a fantastic funeral with a lot of people. And that's going to be dependent on how much I've been able to help people.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Very cool. All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor. All right, we are back. So let's dive into personal habits, something you do on a daily or weekly basis that leads to your success.
All right. Let me think about that, or you're asking me a question?
Hit me, brother.
You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that tells you I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or that I hit the gym early. I try to do that. It's important. I hit the gym 3 days a week, but I don't eat right, so I'm not where I want to be. You know what? I think in my business, there's always something new to improve upon. I just need to find the right person to talk to that morning and ask them what's going on. And I think that's what I do. I just, you know, I try to be better the next day, and I'm not going to be better on my own. I got to talk to people who aren't communicating with me and see what the issue they're having is, right, and how to get better. You know, the story that we talked about with Amazon today buying the movie theater, well, how do I take that lesson and apply it to me? I mean, they have a room full of people, and they're sitting there playing off of their strings, paying off of their cash surplus, but what are they doing, though? They're making game-changing moves. What game-changing moves can we be? Can we recruit that one person that can help your operational team take it to the next level from being a regional player to being a national player, right? Who are they? Have you identified them? What would it take to bring them there? What's the ROI on them? That's what gets me up, is the challenge of seeing how it can be better the next day.
We're going to go head to head, and we're going to cut them out from AMC. We're going to put projectors up in at our pool areas, okay?
Yeah, I like that.
And we're going to shoot it up there, and it's going to be 50 cents to get in, all right? That's what we're going to do.
Amenities are everything.
All right, give me a tip for scaling your business.
Well, scaling your business. I think as I mentioned before, you've got to be able to have a brand, because if people don't know who you are, how are they going to be able to help you? You know, they can't. I have so many people that want to buy their first deal or want to get larger, and they don't do it. You check with them a year later, 2 years later, and they don't do it. Why? Because they keep calling the same two or three brokers. They don't grow their business. They don't go to conferences. They don't network. They don't educate themselves. They don't try to grow. No one's going to give it to you. I mean, this isn't a participation ribbon thing. You're going to have to go take what you want. You know, and maybe that's the commission background I grew up in, where I'm going to have to kill what I'm going to eat at night, right? But no one's going to give it to you. You're going to have to go take it. And you're going to have to put the effort in and the time in to make yourself better. That means innovation. That means listening to podcasts like yours and gleaning the information, the nuggets of gold that you're going to be spitting out. Or meeting with social media influencers and hearing what they do. And you never know what you're going to hear that could be a game changer for you.
You're a vegan, aren't you?
A vegan? No, I'm not a vegan.
Oh, okay.
You look like a vegan?
No, we're talking about stabbing, eating the meat, man. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got you. No, I'm red blooded, red meat, man.
Makes three of us, bro.
How about a book recommendation?
You know, I don't want to say Rich Dad.
You gave us the Rich Dad already, so you got to come up with something new here.
You know, I really like Jack Welch's books. You know, about how to handle people, and you recruit them and you love them. You give them everything that you can, and then you put them out there to the wolves and let's see if they can survive. You know, I'm a big fan. I love Gary Vee's books, man. I think the biggest lesson I learned was that hiring is easy, firing is hard. You are limited by the people around you. You are limited by the bottom third of your business, and you got to find a way to improve that bottom third, either through education and training or through termination, and bring in a new person in there to level yourself up. You've got to it's out there, right? You have all the resources. Copy the people that are successful, pay attention to them, and adopt it to yourself.
So how do you do that? Because that's so easier said than done. We've had struggles with that. How do you get rid of the bottom third? I mean, because that's really important. Like you said, you got to incentivize them. See who's
great time to do it.
Yeah, see who's out there and really making it happen. And so how have you done that in your business? Because I'm sure every entrepreneur in the beginning, that's the biggest struggle. I need to fire this person, but I can't do that.
It's that fear.
It's exactly what you said. It is fear. First, you got to communicate what you want. Mm-hmm. I think many times people can't give you what you want because they don't understand what it is that you want. One of the lessons that I have in my business that I've learned, I wish I did this early on, and I think I did, but then I got away from it as we got larger, is that every single person that joins our business, I'm going to talk to you before they walk through the door. They can pass the interview stage. They're ready to give them an offer, but they're going to talk to me first. And I need to hear from them. Mm-hmm. I need to hear what they want. I need to see if I'm able to give them a chance to help them. And see if they want to buy a new car, if they want to buy their first house. Okay, I can help you. It's all about power. And I'm sorry, it's all about knowledge. If you can give them knowledge is power. You can tell them where to go. As you guys know, you can point them in the right direction, the right mortgage broker, the right car guy. You guys have a variety of network, right? Their network is too small. Yours is wider. You can help them with that. But they need to know what they can do for you. And so my belief is that if you give them 51% of the relationship, if you go in there and you help them as much as you can, they're going to want to help you back. And until that happens, you don't know in that bottom third. You could have a strong performer, an A player there, but they just didn't know what you wanted. If you tell them what you want, chances are if you're helping them, they're going to want to help you.
Mm-hmm. What project are you excited about right now?
Man, everything I'm doing right now is getting better. You know, I never expected to be at 4,000 units. I didn't expect to have a portfolio of 400 million. I didn't expect to be a two-time owner of the year. I just wanted to replace my income in the beginning. That's all I wanted to do. And I bought like that. I bought one deal a year in 2010, one deal a year in 2011, one deal a year, 2013, 20. It wasn't until 2014 when we bought multiple deals that year, when I realized that we had to scale, right? So I'm now shaking off what I call the mom and pop syndrome, that I went too small. My policies are difficult. I need to revise those policies that were very strict. They were very centralized. And I didn't give enough power to other people because I was afraid they were going to screw it up. So I wanted to know what was going on. I wanted to understand it. As you get bigger, right, you've got to get that. You have to give responsibility away. And guess what? Not everybody that was with you at 1,000 units is going to make it to 5,000 units. Mm-hmm. It's not. And that's what the hard thing you were talking about, like, well, fear, letting go of people, man. But is it your dream or is it somebody else's dream? Why are you taking all the risk? Why are you innovating yourself, but you're not asking that of other people? I'm not here to build other people, man. It's a community thing. You got to give what you take, right? And you got to give back. And so, you know, I that's just my philosophy on that, man. I mean, I think it's going to have to be a community effort to get to the next level. I'm playing chess right now. We are upgrading pieces on the chessboard. We're removing other pieces, and we're trying to get to the next level, because what got me here the last 10 years is not going to get me to where I want to be 10 years from now.
All core values, man. Everything in the last 5 minutes comes back to core values, for sure.
Core values.
What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Well, first of all, thank you for being on the show. I've seen you guys. I listened to you guys.
I thought you were on our show.
No, that's what I said. What did I say? I said that wrong. I don't need to be on your show.
And we will not edit this.
I've listened to you guys. It's great to finally get a chance to see you. I've had a blast. Thank you so much. If I brought value to anybody out there listening, please find me. I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn, great articles on there. My real personality comes out on Instagram. You know, you'll see stories of me and my kids on Facebook if you want, or go to YouTube, man. I've got all kinds of, like, I've got a videographer filming me and following me all the time and showing what we do on a day-to-day basis. So find me at the Apartment Rockstar.
Gino, what you got, man?
So everyone's got to take a pen and paper out. We got some notes, Mr. Stenzi.
Oh, shit.
I got a little bit
all
of homework
right.
here.
Right. Come on. Come on.
First thing, on the top of the page, find a way to put yourself out of business. You didn't have to go listen to Gary Vee for that golden nugget. That's on the Jake and Gino show with Robert Martinez. Let me repeat that again. Find a way to put yourself out of business. You might not know what that means now, but ponder that for a little while. Other thing I love, Jake, is being proactive and control the narrative. Jake and I have lost the narrative sometimes, right, Jake? You have to be able to control the narrative. And a lot of recurring theme throughout this entire show has been communication. And Jake and I created a COVID task force for our community. Same thing as you, Robert. We created a webinar for our entire team. They're actually very thrilled. And Jake and I are like, we don't really need this. We can run through the brick wall, but not everyone is Robert Martinez or Jake and Gino. They need that extra and over communication. So you have to look outside of yourself. Over communicate. You cannot be over communicating this part of the cycle right now. Wow. Don't worry about what your parents are saying. It's your life. Remember that box there? That box was fit not for you. Your box is for you to be outside that box. And I think where the juice lies is outside the box. You got anything else, Jake? I mean, there's so much.
No, stuff. I love the energy, man. I was hitting Gino on the chat earlier when you're getting your story. I'm like, I feel like I'm listening to myself right now. So it's cracking me up, man.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. Hey, I want to go back and answer that first one though. When you figure, I don't want anybody to guess. What you're trying to do is figure out a way to put yourself out of business so nobody does it to you first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key, man. The best offense is a good defense, right? So mm-hmm. if you have a weakness, figure it out, because somebody else, like you guys, like me, is going to figure it out, and they're going to exploit it, and they're going to put you out of business. So figure out a way to do it to yourself first, and then come up with a defense against it.
I love that, Robert. So basically, you know, when you look at the deals, does the deal scratch? Are you pencil whipping the deal? Or are you making the deal numbers up? That's going to hurt you. The second thing is, going forward, we're going to need liquidity. So you need to have some liquidity on the sidelines. The third thing is the operations. Robert's vertically integrated. We're vertically integrated. You better find a third-party property management, if you're not doing it yourself, to do a great job and dictate to them what you expect. Mr. Stenziano, anything else, bro?
No, it resonates, because everyone's like, oh, we're at home now. Let's go on the TikTok.
Yeah.
Talk family. What the fuck is this thing called? I'm going to pull it up right here. The house party, and have some like social drinks. I'm like, dude, we're doing 14 hours a day because our business just completely changed and we're all virtual right now. Mm-hmm. And so we're busting our ass. I'm like, geez, guys, come on.
Yes.
So, but no, I mean, I felt your pain, because literally since this, I remember it's like when the world changed. I remember there was this 3-hour period. I was down at Gino's house in Florida, and all of a sudden it was like, this is shut down. I'm like, Gino, I'm out of here. I'm going back, because I'm not going to get stuck in some kind of quarantine. And then the minute we got back from this, dude, we put our heads down and we had to revamp our entire property management business to operate in a completely different way. All new policies, all new procedures. And it's just been nuts, man. But you know what? To your point, dude, doesn't kill you. It makes you stronger. And now we're light years ahead of where we would have been, because, you know, maybe we're a little fat and happy. We needed to cut some of that fat. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Rob, we appreciate you being on the show and just imparting a ton of knowledge and information. Once again, Rockstar, go check it out. Have a great day, Robert. We appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen. I had a great time. Thanks.
Likewise. Thank you, man.
Thank you for listening to the Apartment Rockstar podcast. If you want to learn more about Robert Martinez, feel free to go to www.theapartmentrockstar.com. Follow him on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar. Connect through LinkedIn at Robert Martinez. If you're interested in apartment investing through Rockstar Capital, go to investors.rockstarcapital.com. This has been a production of Rockstar Capital.